It's beginning to rain, 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 hear the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you today, as always, here at Bible Home Church. I tell you, it's always inspiring when our good friends in Bible Home Church, Radio Land, let us know that they're praying for us. And that is the greatest news that I have, to know that the saints are praying for our success. Because I believe God answers prayers. And so many of you are kind enough to send us love gifts, financial means, so that we can stay on the air. We can continue to operate as we do here at Bible Home Church. And I want to thank you for your love gifts, your kindness, and most of all, your prayers. If you're able to send us your tithes, your love gifts, your offerings, we will bring those before the Lord, and we will thank you and ask God to richly bless you in return, that God will answer your needs. In fact, I pray that the Lord will do that right at this very moment. Those of you who are listening, you know who you are, who have given of your time and your effort, your prayers and your financial resources to Bible Home Church, I'm asking the Lord Jesus Christ to bless you. To bless you in ways that only God knows are perfect for you. Some of you may need money. Some of you may need love. Some of you may need friendship, companionship. Some of you are concerned about loved ones and you want to see your loved ones saved. Some of you have other needs. Maybe you have marital problems. Maybe you have problems within your family. Maybe rebellious teenager. Whatever the need is, I'm asking God to bless you. Now, I know there are some ministries in America and churches, and I'm very sorry for them. And they will tell you that if you give to them, God will bless you back, you know, with money and everything from fur coats to jewelry and thick bank accounts and, you know, well, God can do what he wants. If you have financial needs, do pray to the Lord. But I think it's a big tragic mistake for us to believe that God will make us rich the more we give and give. Some years ago, I had a good friend. When I met him, he was out of work. And I commented on, actually, he had a very nice pair of shoes. I said, hey, those look new. Those are really neat shoes. Where did you get those? And almost embarrassed, he said, well, I had to buy them at a, you know, discount footwear store. And, you know, I thought they're really nice looking. And I said, well, boy, you got a bargain there. He told me what he paid for them. It was just a pittance. You know, we're talking about, you know, $18 or something like that for shoes that, I don't know, maybe would be $90 or $100 in a lot of stores. But he was embarrassed to tell me. And then in our discussion together, as we became more friendly, he told me that he had owned one of the largest businesses here in Travis County in Austin, Texas. And he became a member of a church where the pastor told them that the more they gave, the more they got from God. And this man was very faithful. He was. And he began to give more and more to God's work. And he believed you shouldn't give 10% of net. He gave 10% of gross to God's work. And more. And he said it seemed to work. The more money he gave, the more money he made. Until one day, the year was 1986, he was forced into bankruptcy. A number of tragic circumstances. Most of all, the economy of Central Texas just totally tanked. The oil industry was in dire straits, and a lot of Texas was built on the oil industry, and the economy was changing, moving into the new age so-called the high-tech economy. And this man got caught. No fault of his own, he worked probably 12, 16 hours a day. But he and his wife filed for bankruptcy. They lost their Mercedes cars. They lost their big fancy home with its swimming pool and tennis courts. They had to move into a mobile home. And he was embarrassed. He said, "I don't know what happened, Tex. But the more I gave to God, the more I prospered until, but suddenly, right at the peak of my giving, I lost everything." And I was privileged to study the Bible with this friend of mine and show him where the things that God had left with him, the things that God had preserved for him, were so much more important than the things he lost. And you know, one day he came to me in tears and he said, "You know, I've discovered something from my study of the Bible. I'm more happy now than I was when I had all that money. I now have a more stable home life. I'm not working over 8 or 9 hours a day now. I've got a decent job. My wife and I have more time to enjoy the kids. They're more happy. They're more disciplined. We have actually more time for church. Before I thought, well, I don't really have time to do things for the Lord, but I'll just give him money and that'll be enough. I thought the same thing for my kids. I don't have time for them, but I'll give them money. I'll buy them things. That'll be enough." But it wasn't enough. I was miserable and didn't know it, he said. Now, he said, I can see that I am more blessed. The things that God left me are more valuable than the things that were taken. You know, friends, God knows exactly what we need. If you need riches, he may give you riches. Some people may need a little dose of poverty to wake them up. Now, please don't understand. Please don't go around saying, "Oh, this man, God did this to him because he needed to wake up." That's another fallacy, that a person falls into dire financial straits because they've done something wrong and God wants to punish them. That's not so either, necessarily. Sometimes things just happen. God oversees everything, but he has reasons. It could be that he wants to wake people up. But it might be that he just gives people different opportunities. He's sort of adjusting their lifestyles or moving them into other areas. Who knows? I say this, though, my friends. Whatever happens to you in the financial realm, don't let it disturb the spiritual. In other words, you hold on to God. Whether he makes you poor or rich, whether he gives you material things or takes them away, thank him anyway. And stay on that narrow road. There's true prosperity for you. Well, I tell you what, we're going to continue our series today on the chosen vessel. The chosen vessel. Are you a chosen vessel of God? Could be. But there are certain characteristics of the chosen vessel, and that's what we're talking about in this series. But first of all, we always have a beautiful song for you, beautiful music, I call it. If you believe that rock music is beautiful, well, please turn the dial. No, don't do that. Don't turn it. You need to listen to this beautiful music. Because I say that sometimes. I don't think I really mean it. I don't want you to turn the dial. I want you to stay with us. If you're a rock music fan, I want to convert you to God's beautiful music. Here's a beautiful song by Johnny Ray Watson. It's Beginning to Rain. Last week we had, that's the name of the theme song that we have here. But here's another tune from Johnny. It's called He's Got It All in Control. I think I know who he's talking about. He's Got It All in Control. Johnny Ray Watson. And then we'll be back with the message for today, The Chosen Vessel. Now, first though, we're going to have this song, Johnny Ray Watson, He's Got It All in Control.
He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hands. I put my life in His hands. So every road I walk down, I'm sure it's in His plan. I put my life in His hands. He holds a star in the sky. Oh, and He holds back the land from the sea. And if He can do all of that, surely He can take good care of you and me. He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Way down in my soul, yeah. God got it all in control.
Number two, the remnant church. The chosen vessels keep the commandments of God. Maybe not perfectly, maybe we sin sometime. But we have someone who can forgive our sin and blot it out in the name of Christ. And third, the remnant church, the chosen vessels, the few, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And because of that, they have their own testimony, which of course is of Jesus Christ. The third characteristic of the chosen vessel. And listen very carefully to this. They're very rarely either wealthy or admired by the world. Now, the world has certain standards, or lack of standards, whichever the case is, for beauty, for handsomeness, for looks, for greatness, for what they consider intelligence. For being with it, modern, avant-garde, on the cutting edge. They say, you know, that in job interviews, the more attractive looking a person is, the more likely he or she will get a job. They say that ugly people, that is that what the world considers ugly, are people who are too fat or too skinny or too anything, have much harder time in getting jobs and keeping jobs and getting promoted in jobs. I've even seen studies where attractive people are more likely to get loans from banks. They've had people of the same credentials in their financial portfolio go to banks and lending institutions. And the better looking people get more loans than the other people, even though their portfolio is approximately the same. Why should a handsome fella get a loan, but a little dumpy guy, whatever you know, balding, won't get one? And yet their financial portfolio and credentials, the prerequisites for a loan are right there. The same. It's because the world is perverted. And that's the world's criteria for success. And we look up to these people. And some people actually make gods and goddesses out of movie stars and TV stars and soap opera actors and actresses. But God seems to have a wholly different set of criteria for His chosen. Isn't that odd? He doesn't look at what you look like. He really knows who you are. You know, even back in Jesus' time, many thought, and even His disciples were confused about this, that the more wealthy and well-off you were, the more God must be blessing you and choosing you. And those who had the most wealth had to be chosen and have the hand of God on their lives. It was never considered that maybe it was the hand of Satan on their shoulders guiding them that gave them their wealth. But I have found, my friends, in my exposés and investigations of the Illuminati and the secret elite, that in fact, their wealth was given them because they were willing to worship the devil and reject the things of God. And the devil rewarded his own. The world will reward you according to your faithfulness to the world and to Satan. And the material things of this world do indeed belong to Satan. He can give them to you. Now, I realize God can too. If God wants to make you rich, that's God's business. I'm not going to complain because God makes a man or a woman prosperous. I'm glad for it. You say, well, Tex, I'm a Christian. I'm following God. I really believe in the Holy Bible, even the King James Bible. And I have a great job. I drive a nice car. I have some money in the bank. My kids are well clothed and housed. What's wrong with that? Well, goodness, fella, nothing. Or you better be thanking God for it because He doesn't have to give you that. It's just out of the goodness of His heart. Great, I'm glad He's given it to you. And I do believe it's God giving it to you because you're a faithful servant. If He wants to do it, fine. But listen to me very carefully. There could be a man or a woman, young or old, sitting in a prison cell just as faithful today. There could be some person in a third world country suffering from some dreaded disease just as faithful or more faithful than you, prosperous person. Who are you to say they must have some sin in their life? They must have transgressed the law of God. They must have done something wrong. I want to tell you something, my friends. They might be more blessed than you, laying in a hospital bed with a cancer or diabetes. You say, well, Tex, that doesn't make any worldly sense. You're right, it doesn't. You have to read this story in the Bible of the man who was blind, and the disciples said, Lord, why is this man born blind? Is it something he did in a past life before he was born? Or maybe something that his parents did wrong? They were saying, did this man live a past life, you know, like reincarnation? And he sinned in that life and now he has to pay the piper? He got bad karma, you know, accumulated negative consciousness, as the New Agers would say. Is that what happened, Lord? Or maybe his parents, they sinned or whatever, and then when he was born, he came out blind. What is the reason he's blind? You know what Jesus answered? He said, none of those things are the reason he's blind. He was made blind so that the glory of God could be manifested today. And Jesus healed that man of his blindness that very day. Think of that. You mean a man was born blind? And spent all those years from infancy and childhood to the teen years and to the adult years blind solely so that Jesus could come by that street at that moment and put His hands on that man and heal him of that affliction? That's right. You say, well, Tex, that seems cruel. Well, that's the world speaking in you, my friends. You don't understand the power and the glory of God. Because I can tell you right now, that man today, no doubt is in heaven. I believe he is. that man that was healed, living forevermore, and he has a body 1,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times better than the one you got. He's not blind at all anymore. Never will be. And I bet you he's not up there complaining and moaning and whining and saying, why did God make me blind? Sometimes we complain about little aches and ailments or even big ones. I'm not saying that these things are good. I'm saying that God can work through these things. And whatever condition we're in, God can work in our lives and bring us blessedness, happiness, joy, and contentment. The Apostle Paul said he was happy in prison. He said, I'm able to be contented whatever my situation is. That doesn't make worldly sense. Now, I'm not saying that Paul wouldn't have preferred to be out free. Anybody would. But still, isn't it a wonderful thing to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful to be a chosen vessel and to know God's going to see you through and you're going to live forevermore with an immortal body? Let me read to you from Corinthians, the first Corinthians from Paul, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, going on to verse 4 of chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 26 begins, and listen, you're going to be excited about what it says here. It says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Isn't that interesting? People who are called wise by the world, in other words, after the flesh, are not chosen. They're not called by God. Not many mighty. You know, there's not many presidents, prime ministers, CEOs of corporations that are called by God. Not many noblemen, not many kings and princes are called. You say, but aren't they favored? Don't they have royal blue blood? The world says they are, but so what? God says different. Not many noble are called. Verse 27 says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." My friends, a man with a third grade education that has the foundation of Christ is able to confound those who have PhDs. I've seen it over and over. It continues, "And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Don't ever think because someone is stronger than you, has the police state powers that you don't have, that they're able to conquer you. It's just not so if you're chosen by God. 28, it says, "And base things of the world." These are the things that God has chosen. He's chosen the base things of the world, "and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." You say, I don't have any money. I can't defeat the forces of evil. They've got so much more money than me and power. They've got the power. You've got to be kidding me, friends. You're not listening to what God said here. He takes the things which are not. You say, I do not have money. He'll take that and use it. He hung the whole worlds, and I make that plural, all the planets in space, with nothing. And if you have nothing, he can use that. He's the only one that can. Did you hear what I said? God can take nothing and use it. And he can use it to bring to naught the things that are. A lot of people say to me, Tex Morris, I don't even understand why you're still alive today. I mean, you've been investigated by the FBI, you've been terrorized by the IRS, and you've had Janet Reno's Justice Department on your back when Bill Clinton was in power. And how could you overcome all the stresses and strains that you have? Now, the people here in this ministry will tell you, I don't go around wringing my hands every day. I don't. I go around with a smile on my face. I sleep good at night. How can I do it? You say, they could come in your house at any time and arrest you, hoke up charges, trump up charges against you. They could if God lets them. Well, what would you do if they did? Well, friends, I don't have an F-16 aircraft ready to take them on. I don't have a 50 caliber machine gun ready to go after them. If the SWAT team comes in tonight and wants to shoot my dog and beat me up and take my wife and I, strip us naked and whip us and take us away to a jail cell, I don't have the armaments to stop them. I don't have the physical strength to stop them. And even if I were to use a handgun, what would that do with such weaponry that they've got and capability? But let me tell you what I have. I have the armament that God's given me. I have the helmet, the breastplate. I've got everything that God wants me to have.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on The Chosen Vessel.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.